We are back with Equality Under the Law, Practical Physics, and Dr. David Borton. How are you, David?
Good. How are you, Megan?
I'm doing well. So how is gravity these days?
Gravity still works. Gravity is actually a pretty weak force in nature. It's the weakest of all the forces. Electromagnetism is much stronger. It's not the strongest force. There's a nuclear force that's much stronger. But the electromagnetic force is strong enough so that you can stand up and hold your body up against gravity.
So do you have to think about gravity a lot with boats?
Not as much as maybe you're thinking. We were talking a little while back about the inverse square law, about how light from a candle or anything else just goes away. It goes out in all directions. And as it goes out, it's reduced in intensity by the inverse square of the distance from the light source. And gravity works the same way. It's an inverse square force. And that's pretty neat. And one of the things that I think is really neat is that Newton looked at the moons that go around Jupiter, and you know that there's a moon that we have that goes around the Earth, and you know that the Earth goes around the Sun, and all of those things are held in equilibrium because of the acceleration of gravity. So Newton's looking at these four satellites going around that planet out there, Jupiter. He developed calculus, basically, in order to explain that and understand the inverse square law. And I think that's really cool.
That is really cool. Could you explain the inverse square law in terms of a sailor getting their sea legs?
Not really. on the surface of the Earth.
Or two sailors talking about solar boats sitting at a table. Could we do that? A table on the ground?
Well, it's interesting. If there are two sailors talking to each other, there is a gravitational force between them trying to pull them together. But that gravitational force is not very large because the force goes as the product of the masses of the two objects. Now, Sailor 1 and Sailor 2 are not terribly massive, but there is a force between them proportional to mass 1 times mass 2. The problem is the mass of the Earth is so much bigger that the product of Sailor 1's mass to the center of the Earth and Sailor 2's mass toward the center of the Earth overwhelm the force of attraction between the two sailors, the gravitational force.
So are you saying that because of the mass of the Earth, the sailors could get pulled into the ocean at any moment?
Because of the attraction of gravity, the sailors are pulled toward the center of the Earth. And presumably, there's water underneath a boat and a boat underneath the sailors, so that the boat displaces an amount of water equal to the weight of the boat, including the sailors. And the sailors are on this boat so that the force of gravity is balanced by the equal and opposite force of the buoyancy of the boat, holding up the boat and holding up the sailors.
Wow. What if, Moby Dick comes along and overturns the boat?
Well, it's very...
They go into the ocean. Then they're just at the mercy of the waves and the gravitational pull of the sun with the waves, right?
Okay, now let me think about you being underwater. Can you picture yourself underwater? Because if you're underwater, you are displacing water, and that makes you feel more or less weightless. So if you're underwater, the attraction between you and the center of the Earth is still there, but it's offset by the displacement of water. And so you actually feel, I'm going to say, weightless when you're in the water. And so the whale is weightless in the water because his density is about the same as the density of water, like when you're swimming underwater. It's pretty cool.
That is so cool. And, of course, that density changes with salination, right?
Yeah, but that's a pretty small effect. But if you go into the Great Salt Lake, you can really notice it in the ocean. You may be able to notice it if you can compare fresh water to ocean water side by side.
So I have a question for you. I think we all have moments, if we're swimmers, of going underneath the surface of the water. And like you said, you feel weightless. So I'm thinking about moments in Lake George where you just dive down deep. And sometimes if you open your eyes under the water, you see these beautiful beams of light within the water coming from the sun. So does the inverse square law work as the light shines, the light rays are emitting down through the atmosphere down into the water of Lake George?
Yes. what you're really seeing in the water is particles in the water that are scattering the light. The light is so far away, the sun is far enough away, 93 million miles away, that the light coming from there is almost parallel rays. And those parallel rays shine into the water, and the little bit of dust or dirt or algae or whatever's in the water actually scatters that light so that you can actually see something in the water. And that's what you see.
So could you just describe the general principle of the inverse square again? And then later on, I'd like to ask you about bioluminescent creatures that are glowing with their own light at the bottom of the ocean floor.
Okay, one at a time. We were talking about heat just going away. We were talking about light just going away. Light goes from a source in straight lines away from it. And if you are one distance away from the light, the intensity of the light is a certain amount. Now, if you go two distances away from the light, the intensity is not one-half, but one-fourth, 1/2 squared. If you go three distances away from the light, the intensity of the light is 1/9. Not 1/3, but 1/3 squared, 1/9. And that's the inverse square law. And physics explains that, and Newton figured that out looking at the Bohr satellites going around Jupiter.
So the light rays just from a candle that we light on planet Earth, they beam out and eventually just fade into nothingness within the universe.
Okay, well, no, there's conservation of energy so that the photons, which are actually the little particles of energy that are light, go either forever across the universe or they might hit a wall and get absorbed by the paint or the curtain on the window, or the clothes that you're wearing, or the rug on the floor. So the light goes in a straight line until it hits something. And if it hits something, it might be reflected. Light is reflected from metals. Light tends to be absorbed by insulators. But certain insulators that combine the properties of metals and insulators well become transparent like glass. So in that case, the light can go through the glass, just like light can go through water and light can go through air.
Would it be safe to say that everything that takes form in our reality is light taking shape through matter? So whether you're talking about the algae leaf floating in Lake George, or whether you're talking about your friend sitting across from you, or whether you're talking about a wooden harp or a car, or I want to end with something beautiful, a fern in the forest on a mossy forest floor, that everything is just light taking shape. Would that be accurate or just poetic?
That's a little poetic. We have a variety of senses. We could taste the fern. That would be one way we could tell there was a fern there. We could feel the fern. That would be another way. But most of our sensory input is by our eyes, and so most of it is from light. And so we see objects because they are not in equilibrium. This piece of paper is reflecting more light than the table underneath it, and so I can see the edge of the paper because this is light and this is not so light. And so it's this light that's coming to our eyes that's reflected from whatever the source is that makes it so that we can see these objects.